Our sermon this morning deals with one of the most important aspects of our Christian life: forgiveness. The forgiveness that we have received from God as a gift, and the forgiveness that we are privileged to extend to others as a gift. A question from Peter and a teaching parable from Jesus help to focus our thoughts and our actions regarding forgiveness. First of all, what's with Peter's question? Peter in our gospel lesson asks, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times? Peter is likely referring to the idea in his day that was taught by the rabbis that when someone sinned against you, you were expected 3 times to forgive them for the same sin. And after that, well, then it was up to you. We don't know the tone with which Peter spoke to Jesus, but it may well have been a prideful and self-congratulatory tone. Jesus, the rabbis say 3 times, but I'm willing to forgive 7 times. Isn't that great? But Jesus' response had to be a shock to Peter. Instead of congratulating Peter on the largesse of his willingness to forgive others, Jesus blows any kind of forgiveness accounting right out of the water. For he responds with these words, "I do not say to you 7 times, but 77 times. Or it can also be translated 70 times 7 times. In either case, the point that Jesus is making is this: don't keep track, don't keep score, don't make a spreadsheet. Just forgive. And then Jesus goes on to tell a parable about 2 men who owed debts. The first man owed millions of dollars to the king. He owed so much there was no way he could ever possibly repay that debt. He had no hope, and he had no future. He pleads for mercy, and the king forgives his entire debt. Wonderful! Fantastic! But then the story takes a dark turn. This man, who has just been given a future, who has been given hope, who literally has been given new life, he encounters a second man who owes him a significantly lesser amount. For the sake of discussion, let's say a few $100s. One estimate is that the second man's debt was 600,000 times less than the first man's. We don't know for sure, but the debts were very disproportionate. Well, the second man pleads for mercy, but that first man will have nothing of it. He has the man thrown into prison. And when the king hears of this travesty, he revokes the forgiveness of the first man's huge debt. Jesus' parable emphasizes the abundance of God's forgiveness. We are the first man. We owe a debt because of our sin that we cannot possibly repay. We are totally dependent on the mercy of our King. And we have been forgiven abundantly by the blood of our King, Jesus Christ, shed on the cross for us. We have been given hope. We have been given a future. We have been given new life in Christ because of his gift of forgiveness. We have been claimed as God's children in the waters of baptism. We have our sins forgiven week after week as a part of the divine service as we gather for worship. And we have the privilege of coming to the Lord's table regularly to receive the body and blood of Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins. Jesus' telling of this parable leads us to the point. We are forgiven much, so that we may be forgiving. We are who we are in Christ, not because we have earned it or deserved it, but rather because of God's free gift, the pure gift of God's grace. For it is because of that grace of God that we are freely forgiven our debts. And our response to this gift is to forgive others readily and freely and often. We, as that first man, are to recognize the enormity of the debt of sin that God has removed from us. And that informs how we are to forgive others. In God's gift of forgiveness, we receive power to forgive others. You see, forgiveness is not a weapon, it's a gift. Forgiveness is not something we withhold in order to manipulate someone else or hold over their head and withhold until they do exactly what we want them to do. But I can already hear your objections. Forgiveness is fine, but I'm not going to be some sort of doormat. I'm not stupid. Don't we need to put some teeth into forgiveness so that people understand that sin has consequences? We don't want to make it too easy. And so, even though we hate to admit it, at times, we are very much like that first man in the parable in terms of our attitude toward others. We, who have been forgiven much, an abundance, all too often in terms of forgiving others, we forgive grudgingly or stingily, or sadly at times, not at all. This is the area of discipleship that Jesus is addressing in our gospel lesson this morning. Are we, as disciples of Jesus, we who have been given peace and joy and love and hope in Christ through that gift of forgiveness, are we willing and are we ready to easily and freely extend the gift of forgiveness to others? What joy there is to always know that Jesus always forgives you. In 1 John chapter 1, we read, "If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just. He will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Note very carefully the Apostle John's words here. If we confess our sins, God will forgive our sins. Not maybe, not possibly, not if we're sorry enough, not if only we promise never to do that sin again. You and I are forgiven freely. Again. And again, and again, and again. Forgiven by a Savior who loves us more than we can even comprehend. And so we are challenged to forgive limitlessly. We are challenged to forgive others from the heart. Jesus reminds us that if we do not forgive others, God will not forgive us. Of course, that is law. But I prefer to focus on this issue in the light of the gospel. We have been given life and hope and peace in Christ because of His gift of forgiveness to us. And now we have the opportunity to be the bearer of those gifts as we extend that gift of forgiveness into the lives of others, as we share with others what God has already given to us. Who are you in this story? Peter, who tries to quantify forgiveness? The first man who has been forgiven much? The second man who pleads for mercy? Jesus says loudly and clearly to you and me this morning, you are forgiven. To forgive. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus now and forever.